All right, so how did this play all come together? What was the inspiration for it?
The inspiration for this play, which is very thematically about inspiration, came about in 1995. Olga Ivinskaya, who is the central character, she was Boris Pasternak's mistress for 14 years and allegedly the inspiration of the character Lara in Dr. Zhivago. She had, the actual woman passed away in 1995, and I was working on another play at the time, and my father found her obituary, cut it out of the newspaper, and came up to my room and handed it to me and said, "I know you like the movie, she just died." And that's pretty much what he said. He was not, he was very straightforward about breaking the news to me, but I saw this, and I really had not known her story before, and it was actually a very thorough obituary, and it was very inspiring because it detailed how she and Pasternak, Boris Pasternak, had this long affair while he was writing the book, and how she had, in fact, gone to prison twice for him, once while he was still writing the book and they were trying to get it published, and another time after he had died. Spoiler, but it really, it was just very inspiring, to read about people who would be that committed to a work of art, especially one that in many ways not just a love story, but really a very personal bit of historical fiction about a time in a country that he himself, Boris Pasternak himself, really loved, and that he wanted to he really wanted to express not only that love, but all the things that were going wrong after the revolutions, after the Soviet system took over, in hopes that I think they could be fixed, or at least be called attention to.
This play was performed, as early as 13 years ago. What made you want to bring it back again?
I actually have always wanted to bring it back. The first time it was performed at the Red Barn Theater in Pittsburgh, it was an early draft, and it was very much a developmental production. And then again in 2000 at the Hart School, where Michael Montel directed a beautiful, beautiful production of it in a very tiny little space. It was just phenomenal, and we got to work on the play a lot together, but even after that production, I was never quite happy with certain aspects of it. I felt that there was still some repetition, there were still some things about the story as I was telling it that needed to get the action off the ground a little faster, and I've had a few readings over the years where I would listen to it again and sort of hit the same walls I had been hitting. And then I had changed directors. Michael was not able to do this production, and I worked with Thomas Cote, who is directing this production and who has directed work of mine before. And we got to look at it with some fresh eyes and really sort of bust it apart and see what was working and see what needed to be changed. And that we did that for a stage reading last March. And what was very exciting about that staged reading was it happened at the workshop. It happened over three nights. And at the end of the first performance on Thursday, Thomas turned to me and said, "I know what's wrong with the end of the play." I wasn't even looking at the end of the play. I was actually looking at the first half of the first act for the most part. And he gave me notes about how he wanted to change, or what wanted me to change the end of the play. And I disagreed immediately, but I told him that I would take his notes and do my very best to make his suggestions work. Because there's no point in doing it half-heartedly. So I did it, and when I was done with the changes, I thought, well, damn it, he was right. And we the ending of the play was different on Friday and Saturday than it was for the audience that saw it on Thursday. So that was very exciting. But we had, you know, we had taken a lot of elements out of the play that were structural and narrative elements that were working before, but we discovered they were only working so much. And we were really trying to focus on making the play more urgent, heightening the sense of peril, because the play itself is the story of Pasternak and Olga Ivinskaya is told in flashback as she is, it begins after she has been arrested after his death. And the first half of the play is her interrogation, the second half is her trial. And we see their relationship unfold through the course of that interrogation and trial. But we didn't want it to just be a series of her interrogator saying, and then what happened, and then seeing flashbacks to their relationship. We really wanted to heighten what was going on and how this information that he was asking for and that she was giving him could or could not be the key to her freedom, and could or could not, you know, compromise the sacrifice that she had already made on behalf of her, you know, the man that she had loved who had recently passed, and so the stakes are very high, and we wanted to really emphasize that this time. So really, the play that we're putting on right now is very different from, in many, many ways, from the play that we did even last year, which was finally different from the play that we did at the Hart School, which had not changed in literally 11, 12 years.
How do you think your experience as a writer on One Life to Live and General Hospital has influenced you as a playwright?
It's interesting because when you're a playwright, for a lot of writers, the middle of the play is the part where it sags. And it's, you know, you have a great idea for a beginning, you know where you want it to end, and you have an idea for all of these, like, points in between, but it's actually, you know, connecting those dots. And the thing about writing for soap operas is, one, it's so, you get to have so much fun because there's a great element of melodrama, and even though as a scriptwriter, the plot is already set up for the scriptwriters, at least the two shows I've worked at, you do have a lot of they want you to express yourself, they want to express your creativity, but at its very nature, soap operas don't have beginnings or ends. You are always writing the middle. And that's incredibly helpful as a playwright, because, you know, you're constantly thinking as a soap opera how to connect this thought, and how to make sure that the episode that I'm writing this week actually connects to this large history. And right now at General Hospital, I have, there's half a century worth of history to fall back on, and a lot of it with some of these characters that are returning for the 50th anniversary that's coming up soon. I'm getting to go to YouTube and look up things that happened in the 1980s. And all of that is, it's very similar to what I went through with Lightning from Heaven, in that you have to do a lot of research on things that happened in the past. It's just the difference with Lightning from Heaven is that they actually happen to real people, whereas, you know, happening at General Hospital on a fictional landscape. And given that in Lightning from Heaven we're dealing with Soviet Russia, some of the things that actually happen to these people are just as, if not more, outlandish or melodramatic than what's happening on the daytime soap opera. But yeah, the significance of that question is it really helps, writing for soaps helps you learn how to write the middle, which is the hardest part for me, at least in writing a play.
So who do you think will get the most out of this play?
That's an interesting question. It's hard for me to ask because I want our answer because I want the play to appeal to everybody. I think movie lovers, especially classic movie lovers, will get a kick out of it, because if they they liked Dr. Zhivago, even if they didn't. The David Lean film. There's a lot here to enjoy stylistically. That was a great inspiration behind the telling of the story. And I think literature buffs, especially, the 6 or 7 Russian literature buffs who might come and see the play, I think will get a kick out of it. There is, but I think that, I mean, she fortunately led a very dramatic life, and a very difficult life. And I think that anyone who, anyone who's really just had any difficulty, expressing themselves or having the freedom to express themselves because of authority, whether it be something as mundane as parental authority, or even, the authority of the government or anything in between, your bosses. I think that at some point we all come across an obstacle where we have an opinion, we have a thought, we have some sort of story to tell, and there's someone who doesn't want to hear it or someone who doesn't want to tell it, and if these people could face the adversity they face and endure the personal hardships they endured, and on many levels, did not succeed in their own personal lives, they did leave behind an enduring work of art. And I think that really people who have faced that sort of adversity will enjoy the play, and anyone who really likes a good high-stakes romance. It's a very romantic piece. They had a very romantic life in many ways, because there were a lot of things that they did for love, and a lot of questionable choices that these people made. Nobody was a saint. So I think that... I really just want to say anybody who loves a good story will love this play, and I just hope that's true for a few people.
So let's talk about your theater company a little bit. What was it like to redevelop this production with them?
Oh, it's been awesome. I have a great cast. Just a wonderful cast, and it's so fun to work with Thomas again. Some of the people have actually done the reading before. Some of them have done other readings of the play in the past, and others are completely new to it. So there's a wonderful mixture of perspectives. As someone who's done a lot of theater, I've done a lot of small fringe independent theater in Pittsburgh, where I'm from, and of course, doing a lot of stuff off Broadway. It's always wonderful to have a set, and it's always wonderful to have light and sound and just production values. And so it's very exciting to actually come into from rehearsal to rehearsal, and just all of a sudden, you've gone from a bare stage, and suddenly there are walls and pillars, and we've gone from plain wood to just colors, and it's really very exciting. I'm working on the text itself. The actors who are working on it are very passionate about it. The play appears to have just really inspired a lot of loyalty in the cast, and a lot of passion. They're very enthusiastic. They've been telling their friends about it, and some of the roles. There are some roles our leads have a lot of words and a lot of scenes. Our leading lady almost never leaves the stage, and then there are other roles where you're off, and then you wait half an hour or an hour before you're on again. So the dedication has been very, very impressive, and the energy has been wonderful, and with working within our developmental process, it's been 4 years since they've actually worked on a full-length play at the company, really, at all in any developmental sense. And it's been really great to be a playwright again. It's funny, one of our younger actors, who hasn't been with the company very long, we were all talking, and I had mentioned, I had referred to a play, and I had written it. He said, "Oh, I didn't realize you were a playwright," and I was stricken. I was like, "Oh my god!" It's like my entire identity as a writer has been totally lost because it's like people have forgotten that I actually do this, and so it was really nice to get back to the swing of writing for theater. And not that that writing for daytime has been unrewarding at all. It's just been amazing, but there's only so much time. And to really just get re-immersed, and it was really helpful to do it with a play that, you know, I had already gone through a few drafts of, because creating something from scratch, I don't know if I have the time to do that right now, but to revisit this and to get all these new perspectives and to have a group of people who are so vocal and energetic, and they really, they're not just vocal about the things they love about it, but they really are very clear about the things that are not working for them. It's always been, for me as a playwright, to hear the actors say, you know what, I've already said this two or three times, and or I'm just, you know, I'm just sitting here. I'm just not doing anything in the scene at all. And then we can address it, and we can make changes, and it's a very fluid process, and everybody's on the same side. We all want the production to succeed in the performances, and we all really want the play to be the best it can be. And that's the sense of family and community is very inspiring as well.